Good morning, Rabbi Sai.
Morning.
We are looking at Siman Samach Tes, Hilchos Melicha. Before we actually begin reading the Shulchan Aruch, I just want to give a very brief introduction. We know that Melicha is the process to be followed in order to remove blood from meat before we're able to eat it. It's worth being aware that there is more than one procedure which can be followed to remove the dam. Classically, what we do is Melicha. Later on in Shulchan Aruch, we're going to learn about another way of getting the dam out from the meat, which is tzliya, roasting. So you have actually two options in front of you. A, you can salt your meat and then cook it in water in a pot. Or alternatively, you can roast it over fire. And roasting it over fire actually also removes the blood from within the meat. So melicha is needed really only for somebody who specifically wants to cook his meat as opposed to roasting it. Somebody who's happy to roast his meat, in essence, doesn't need to do melicha. There's more details, but that will be seen when we come to the halachas of tzliya. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us the very first point in the sefer of melicha, tzorich lahadir chabosor koidem melicha. One needs to rinse or wash the meat before salting it. It's called known as hadocha rishona. The first washing needs to be done before salting the meat. Now, there's a number of reasons for hadocha rishona, why this hadocha rishona needs to be done. I know some of the reasons were mentioned yesterday in the introduction. I just want to mention briefly the three, I would say, primary reasons which are mentioned in the shach over here, because they have tremendous relevance and ramification to the continuation of our seif. So the Shach mentions three reasons. One reason is the reason of the Ram. The Ram says that we need to soak the meat because this softens the meat, it softens it, so as to enable the melicha to work. If you have meat that's all hard and solid, the melicha isn't going to work. It isn't going to remove the dam. So we have to soften it. Without softening it by soaking it in water, the melicha is not going to work. That is the opinion of the Ram. Number two. The opinion of the Modchai. The Modchai says that if you don't rinse off the meat before doing melicha, the meat is covered with an outer layer of blood, aside from the blood which is absorbed within it, which is primarily what we want to remove by doing melicha. But aside from that, there's also a layer of blood on the outside. And what's going to happen is, if you're going to salt it without first washing it, what's going to happen is your salt is going to get full of blood. From the blood which covers the outside of the meat, from the outer coating of blood, it's going to get full of blood, and it's not going to work to pull out the blood which is within the meat. So first reason to soften it, second reason because the salt will otherwise get full of blood from the outer coating of blood. And third reason, the reason of the smak. Smak says something else. So you have the outer coating of blood. The outer coating of blood, if you're going to salt it while that coating is still there, what's going to happen is the salt is going to push that layer of blood into the meat. It's going to make the meat absorb the outer layer of blood. It's going to the contrary of what it does to the blood on the inside, and that is a big problem. Why is that such a big problem? Because the rule is that melicha only helps to extract the dam which is absorbed within meat. It does not help to extract what we call dam be'en. Regular dam, non-absorbed blood. If just for example, they go, you know, something unconnected, we've got a piece of meat and sitting on the counter in our kitchen, and somebody's got a big cut and the blood drips into the meat and it goes through the cracks and inside gets absorbed within the meat. You can't get that blood out by doing melicha. Melicha only works for the blood which is absorbed naturally within the meat. It does not work for dam be'en. What we call in halacha, it works for dam plita, the dam that needs to be extracted, dam of extraction. It does not work for dam be'en, what we call dam on its own. It does not work for dam be'en. So, yeah, if the dam gets in, it won't be able to come out. Yes, it won't be able to come out through through melifa. So says the smak, if you are going to salt your meat without first rinsing it on the outside, what's going to happen? All that outer blood, says the smak, is classified as dam be'en. As dam, which is not dam plate, it's just regular dam. It's dam on the outside of the meat. You're going to end up pushing it in by salting it, and you won't be able to get it out. Okay, so those are the three reasons. One, you need to soften the meat. Two, the melicha won't work because it will just get all soaked up with blood. And three, the blood on the outside is dam be'en, and once you push it in, you've ruined things. So there is a common denominator between reasons one and two, and a common denominator between reasons two and three. What do I mean? Reasons one and two, you have to soften the meat, and the salt on the outside will get full of blood. Those are reasons which just tell you that melicha won't work in this fashion. It won't work. They both tell you if you haven't softened your meat or you haven't removed the outer layer of blood, your melicha isn't going to work. It doesn't stop you from doing melicha again. You haven't done anything wrong. You haven't ruined your piece of meat in a manner that you can't do melicha any further. All that's happened is this melicha isn't going to work. Fine, so wash off that salt, do things properly, start again. In contrast, reason three, the reason of the smack, the dam on the outside gets pushed in, that's much worse. That's on its own, that reason's got its own separate character, that ruins your piece of meat. Once you've done that, it's spoiled. You can't be melech it. It could be that Sli would work, yeah. Now, salt will definitely not work. Now, also, there's another way of grouping these three reasons. Reasons two and three also have a certain common denominator which does not apply in reason one. Reasons two and three, they're both about the blood which is on the outside surface. So once you've done enough washing to get rid of the blood on the outside surface, you've been yotzi yedei chevoscha, you've done what you need to do. Reason number one, softening the meat, that's not about the blood on the outside surface. That's something else. You have to actually soften up the meat. To make it soft, you might have to soak it for a drawn-out period of time. Whereas, to simply wash off what's on the surface, probably good enough to give it a quick shower. So, there's differences between the reasons. Certainly, lechatchila, we're going to look to fulfill all of the reasons. When things go wrong, when things are not done properly, and our back's against the wall, and we're in the situation of the Eved, there's discussion. It's unclear, really, which reason is absolutely the reason, and which reasons can be a little bit overlooked, perhaps, in a Bidi Eved situation. That's a little bit unclear. But certainly, lechatchila, we're going to look to fulfill all of the reasons. So, for example, right away on the page over here, Rabbi Akiva Eiger and other poskim can point out something which is mentioned by the Beis Yosef, and that's coming between the reasons, the temperature of the water. The temperature of the water which you're going to soak your meat in when you do Hadocha Rishoyna. Beis Yosef brings a concept which is mentioned in Chazal, Mayim Korin, cold water Metoshile. It hardens, it solidifies the piece of meat. You want to soften up a piece of meat, water that is too cold is not good. Cold water doesn't help to soften up meat. We need water that is not hot, certainly not hot, but let's say room temperature, not cold water. Definitely don't want cold water. That's enough kamina now between the reasons. That's only if you hold that it needs to be softened. If you're worried simply about washing off from the outside, cold water is just as good as any other water. So says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, lechatchila, don't soak your meat in cold water. Soak it in regular room temperature water. If you soaked it in cold water, you certainly haven't ruined your piece of meat. Certainly not such a great big problem, because you can. All you need to do now is to go ahead and soak it again in regular room temperature water. And even if, not only that, but even if you've already done melicha, even if you soaked in cold water, you did melicha, and now you say to yourself, oh my gosh, the water was cold. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you haven't got such a great big problem. Why? Because the cold water definitely got rid of all the dam on the outside. The only thing that can make for you a problem to actually ruin, to usser your piece of meat, is the dam on the outside. The cold water got rid of the dam on the outside. Maybe you didn't soften it. So maybe you didn't soften it, and maybe your melicha didn't work. Okay, so says Rabbi Kivega, take the piece of meat and go over the procedure again. Do it now. Now soften it up in room temperature water. And then you can do melicha again, and it will work. You haven't crossed any chashash of making your piece of meat forbidden. Okay. In practical terms, in the big factories today, where they do melicha in a sort of commercial setting, they have a temperature gauge on the basin which holds the water, and that is one of the jobs of the mashgiach and the Vaad HaKashrus, is to keep an eye on the temperature of that water, that it shouldn't be too cold. Okay, let's move on in the Shulchan Aruch now. We've spent too much time talking. Ve'im hidichei hatabach, ein tzarich la'adichei b'bayis. This isn't dafka isn't necessarily an obligation on every person in his house. If we know that the tabach, the shochet, or the butcher has already rinsed this piece of meat before it arrives in my house, ein tzarich la'adichei b'bayis, one doesn't have to rinse it again. It's been done already. There's a shayla in the Meforshim how to learn this, but the Shach learns that even if all the butcher did was to shower it, he didn't soak it in a keli. Well, we're going to see soon, shortly in the Ramah later, that ideally this first rinsing should be done by soaking it in a keli. But if it's already been done some form of washing, and it was washed well, not just a little bit of washing, but it was washed well, a few times over, well washed, then one doesn't need to do it again. If after washing the piece of meat, after rinsing it, somebody comes along and cuts the piece of meat into pieces prior to actually doing the melicha, oh, he says there are more alternatively, somebody removed the hoofs from the bottom of the legs after doing the rinsing, one needs to rinse the pieces of meat yet again. Why? Because when you cut a piece of meat which hasn't yet had melicha, what happens? Blood oozes out and comes and fills the surface of the meat. So one of the purposes of Hadacha Rishona hasn't now been fulfilled. Because what's happened? You've cut your piece of meat, the blood has oozed out to the surface, and all that outer coating of blood which you so much wanted to get rid of before doing melicha is now here again. You've got an outer coating of blood once again. So, once again, this is something that's tolerant on the reasons. If the reason would have been simply because of softening the meat, the fact that you cut it afterwards and blood oozes out, who cares? The meat has been softened. This is specifically to do with those tamim which are concerned with the blood which comes on the surface. Yeah, for sure. But also for other reasons, because the nikkur, right, is to get rid of the forbidden chalovim. If you're going to salt it while the chalev is still there, then what's going to happen? It's going to be highly, highly problematic. The tam from the forbidden chalovim is going to transfer to your kosher meat. So yes, for sure, before we're going to come to melicha, we have to get rid of any forbidden parts of the animal. Some places can prove that this concern of cutting the piece of meat is specifically when you cut it with a knife. They say that the teva of slicing meat with a knife is that it draws more blood out to the surface, and we have the problem that we've discussed. But if, for example, you tear the meat apart with your hands, or even a case discussed in Poskim is that, let's say, an animal came and took a bite from your piece of meat, and we won't tell the health and hygiene department, so, you know, a pussycat came and had a little bite from your piece of meat. Some police can maintain that this does not have the same teva as cutting it with a knife. And they maintain that it doesn't need to be washed again. They bring a riot to this from the Gemara. Perhaps we'll leave that on the side for the moment. So it continues there. If one doesn't rinse it a second time after having cut it following the hadacha, following the rinsing, it is as if it wasn't rinsed at all, and your melicha is no good. Another point pointed out here is that really it depends, in truth, it depends on the size of the cut. Depends on the size of the cut. Because, as we've said, a piece of meat that was rinsed and then cut, the problem is not with softening the meat. The meat is soft. The problem is only the dam that comes al panov. So if all you have is a very small cut, and all you have is a very little bit of dam al panov, so you don't have such a great big problem. Why? Because the problem with the dam al panov is only A, that the melicha doesn't help, because it gets, the melach absorbs the dam, and B, because that melach al panov gets pushed back in through the melach. The dam al panov gets pushed back in through the melach. Those are the two problems. So those two problems, if all you have is a very little bit of blood, so your melicha works because the melach was spread over 99% of the meat, so the little area where the blood was doesn't matter. We're going to learn that, although ideally you spread over every section, but if a little bit was missed out, your melicha is still good. And even if we go with the other time, that the melach pushes the dam back in, it's a very tiny bit of blood, so a tiny bit of blood is going to be bottled. Says the Ramah further, Hadachas habasa, lechatchili yizor lishroiser neged chatzi shah. So how long should this rinsing take place? Ideally, it should be soaked, and it should be soaked for a half an hour. And this is obviously, again, to fulfill the idea of softening the meat. Simply getting rid of the blood on the surface, you wouldn't need to soak it, and you certainly wouldn't need to soak it for a half an hour. It would be sufficient to rinse it with a shower. But ideally, we said we want to fulfill all of the reasons, so we let it soak for a half an hour. Ula hadicha heitu v'mei hashruya. And also, to rinse it off well within the water in which it's being soaked, which means to rub it within the water that's being soaked. Why? Because in addition to softening it, we want to also get rid of all the outer dam. And getting rid of the outer dam, how's that done best, at least ideally, not just by soaking it, but actually by physically going over it with your hand and rubbing it to make sure that there's nothing left there. But, however, if one did not soak it in a keli, rak hidichay heite, but one washed it well. And the operative word over here is well, not simply with a very quick shower, but really one showered it over well, thoroughly. So then, sagine, that's good enough. And Reb Kivayega implies that this actually fulfills all of the reasons. Washing it well fulfills all of the reasons. Certainly gets rid of the outer blood, that's no question. But even the reason of softening it, since you haven't just rinsed it, you know, quickly, you've rinsed it well, thoroughly over a long period of time, that's also good enough to soften it. Now, the next stage, one should wait a little bit so that the water will drip off before salting it. Why do we want that? Because if the meat is exceedingly wet, then it might melt and dissolve. The salt will dissolve due to the water, and it will not extract the blood. So we wait until it's a little bit dry, and then we salt it. A few more details. V'nagu, the custom is, shelo lishtamish bidvarim acherin, bikli sheshoin boibosa. Not to use this utensil, which one has set on the side for soaking your meat, for any other purpose. So if you're used to soaking meat at home in your house, and salting it there, what you do is, you have a special bowl or basin, which is dedicated for soaking the meat, prior to salting it. The minig is not to use that keli for anything else. And this is only a custom, it's not me'ikar hadin. We can well understand why it's not me'ikar hadin, because how long are you soaking this meat there for? Half an hour. Halachically it needs to be a half an hour, right? So how long is the meat going to sit there for? Half an hour. So half an hour of cold meat with blood sitting in a keli isn't going to affect the kashrus of that keli in any way. There's no heat. It's not sitting there for 24 hours. No means of transferring tam into the wall of the keli. So simply something cold was in your keli, cold blood was in your keli. Okay, so you take the keli, you take it out, you clean it, and you can use the keli for whatever you want. But the minhag nevertheless is only to use the keli for this purpose and not for anything else. Why? Because of a chashash that little stains and specks of blood might remain on the surface of the keli. And when you use it subsequently for some kosher food, the blood will mix in without you realizing, without you knowing. So to avoid that, the minhag is not to use this keli for any other purpose. Because it's only a minhag, if mistakenly as a one-off, you used some other keli or something like that to soak your meat, certainly it doesn't become forbidden to use it now for its regular usage. You take it, you clean it well, and you put it back to its regular usage. Just a minhag that one should have a dedicated keli for this. Oh, no, that's something else. No, no, 100%. We're talking here about the keli which you soak it in. The if one left the meat soaking for 24 hours, obviously this is not something that was meant to happen. Ideally, you soak it there for half an hour, and then you carry on with your procedure of melicha. Here, something went wrong, you forgot, you left it soaking, and when you remove it, you came back the next day, you forgot all about it, and here it is soaking in the water, and it's been there for 24 hours. So then, habasar, v'gam ha-kli, asurin. Both the basar, both the meat, and the kli, asurin, become forbidden. Why? The keli, we obviously understand, the keli has absorbed the blood that's in the meat, and the basar, the meat also, we're going to see a klal later on, that meat that was cooked together with its salt can no longer be rectified by melicha. Melicha only helps for extracting blood while the meat is in its raw state. Once the meat has been cooked together with its blood, the melach can no longer reliably extract all of the blood. And we know the rule that kavush, something that's been soaked for 24 hours, kimavushal domi, is like something that's been cooked. So here your meat is as though it's been cooked, and therefore melicha is no longer effective. See later on somewhere in this siman. If it was there for less than 24 hours in lahakpid, there is no concern. And in truth, even if this did happen and your kli became forbidden, the utensil became forbidden, but it is permitted to once again use it simply for soaking meat. Because soaking meat in the normal way isn't there for long enough. The meat isn't in the keli for long enough to extract anything from within the walls of the keli. There's tarm of blood in the walls of the keli, but that tarm is not going to be extracted because the meat is just going to soak there for less than 24 hours, so you can actually carry on using it. Din basar shemali kerach, the din of the law of meat, which is full of ice, which is frozen. Kate said, Nergin imshri, I'll say, how do we deal with its soaking? See earlier in Simon Samaches, the challenge over here is that on the one hand, you cannot salt meat while it is frozen, because meat has to be soft in order for the melicha to work. On the other hand, so either you wait around for it to defrost, which is good if you've got time, and also if you're in the type of climate where that's going to happen easily, but if you're in Eastern Europe in the middle of the winter, it might not happen so easily. So the other idea which would cross your mind would obviously be to heat it in hot water. But heating it in hot water is highly problematic because of the halacha which we've just mentioned, that one cannot cook the meat before salting it. And so the solution mentioned by the Rama in Simon Samaches was to gently heat it in warm water, which is certainly not Yad Seleh at this point. And that way you defrost your meat, you make it ready for melicha, but you have not cooked it because your water was less than Yad Seleh at this point. Please can also discuss a situation where the meat was basically defrosted, but one found later, after having been meleach it, you discover that in the middle of the meat there was a frozen area within the meat. And we can discuss whether it's possible bichlal to now salt it again just to extract the salt, the dam that's absorbed in the center of the meat. And basically, I'm later to say, inclined to say that actually this cannot be done, because the way melicha has to work, the salt, the dam has to be extracted in one flow from all of the meat together. If you have some areas of meat which already no longer have dam in them, then when you're going to extract the dam from that frozen part, what's going to happen is that dam is going to get nivla, it's going to get absorbed by the outer part of the meat, because that part of meat is no longer expelling blood, and meat which is not expelling blood can absorb blood. Another point discussed is with a meat which was stored in ice for more than 24 hours, what din does it have? We know if you stored meat in water for more than 24 hours, it would have a din of something that had been soaked, and soaked is like cooking, and you would no longer be able to salt it. What's the din if it's stored in ice for more than 24 hours? Does that give it the din of kavush or not?
If it were stored in ice, wouldn't it itself freeze?
No, even if the meat did freeze, just the fact that the meat did freeze, so I'll take it out from the ice, I'll defrost it, and once it's defrosted, I'll do melicha. But here we're asking, we're wondering, whether when you stored it in ice for over 24 hours, did that give it the din of kavush kimavushal, of something that's been as though it's been cooked? And once we treat that piece of meat as though it's been cooked, then melicha will no longer be effective. So in the old-fashioned method of freezing, where you keep something in ice blocks, this is questionable. The Maaseh of the Pesachei Teshuvah quotes the Menachas Yaakov, who says that this does not have the status of water, and it doesn't have the din of kavush kimavushal. Okay, Rabbi, so we'll stop here.
Start the process.
Yeah, for sure.
Even though you can do tevila in ice.